ugly. In Amos 8:11, it says, "Behold, days come, says the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land." Not, he's going to send it now. Not a famine of the, of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander convention after convention, from sea to sea, from the east, north even to the east, they shall run to and fro and to seek the word of the Lord, and they shall not find it.
Yikes.
Why? Because God won't let them.
That's pretty scary.
That's kind of scary, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Very scary.
No, well, he's going to cut it off so that he's just going to say, you know, he's not going to be available anymore.
Sounds like that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I've been to these conventions. I've listened to the great doctors and the great theologians and the educated, I don't want to call them idiots, but that would be probably a good...
That's kind of why he's sending the famine, isn't it?
Huh?
Isn't that kind of why he's sending the famine? Is because you'd rather listen to idiots?
Well, I tell you, the scripture in Luke 11, where Jesus is saying that, "I thank you, Father, that you've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and revealed them to babes. For so it seems good in your sight." It's like, oh, wait a minute here. That goes against us, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That doesn't make a lot of sense. Well, the hearing of the word. I've come to the conclusion that the hearing of God's word is more vital or valuable than even the seeing of it. It does something different in hearing. And I've had some exciting things this past week. And anyway, when Dale and Brian came, that was an excitement. Total big surprise. You know, they'll probably hear this song. But the excitement, and Brian, I talked to him on the phone last night, and Brian wanted to know if he could call me once in a while. And I thought, I would like nothing better. Let's go for it. get this thing out, you know. Otherwise, it's rolling around inside of me.
Are you going to read some corky?
No, I was following Keith. Because he didn't say exactly where Luke was.
And Amos over there, you know, it says that they'll go different places and they won't find the word of the Lord. The thing is that Jesus says, don't go anywhere. You know what I mean? You don't have to go. There's no need to go anywhere to hear the word of the Lord. So the fact that you're going anywhere to hear the word of the Lord is already a problem.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
That's exactly
there's
right.
No, you need not to go. You can be in jail and be saved. You know what I mean?
And we have come to the realization, or at least I've come to the realization, that it doesn't make a lot of difference what translation. God has kept the truth in all of them. But people use the other translation as an excuse. Well, I don't know which is the right one, so I don't, you know, I've tried this one, I've tried that, right? And it's like when people do that, it means they're not really listening to any of them. Because if you were, it's like that 1 Timothy 2, 4, and 5. It's the same in all translations. So is a 2 Thessalonians 2, 10. So is a lot of other scripture settings. I think John 8:31-32. I think that's the same in all of them. Pretty much so. I don't know that I've checked that, but if you continue in my word. if you make a lifestyle out of my word, if you keep listening to my word. But I've come to the conclusion that the hearing of the word is the most valuable thing that I have ever come across. I have seen more life changes and more things happen in the last few years by people just listening to God's word than anything I've ever seen.
Well, because God's word will save you. You know, the scripture says, and you know, they receive not a lot of, the wrong scripture. It says, I don't know where it says, but it says, and you know, the God's word that is capable to save you, or to save you. It doesn't say, and Jesus, we know, is the word made flesh. That's why he said, your savior. It doesn't say anywhere, and not even a resemblance of, like, if you do anything else, will save you. You know what I mean? It's like, it doesn't say if you believe in miracles, or if you pray a lot, or if you, anything. The what saves you is the word. Now, what then Jesus said, you know? Now, this is life eternal, that you love the Father, and for most of all, and your neighbor as yourself. Well, the hearing of the word causes that love. You know what I mean? Not the witnessing of miracles, and not the feeding the poor, or not the this and that. You know what I mean? So yeah, the greatest thing is is, well, the hearing of the word.
The that verse of Psalm 19:7 that says that the word of God is perfect. It says it's perfect. Is it?
Yes. I believe so.
It is.
It is perfect.
Yeah, and perfect is just a word.
Let me tell you, and I know why. I started realizing that this last week. I know why it's perfect. God spoke to the Father through the prophets. God did. God spoke to the Father through the prophets. Whose thoughts did he use? What were the thoughts that he used? Where did he get them? Did he borrow them from somebody? Did he have people take a vote on it? And he spoke to us through his Son, through Christ. So, whose thoughts are we listening to?
God's.
Are you following me?
Mm-hmm.
Those are God's thoughts that we're hearing. Mm-hmm. No wonder that heaven and earth is going to pass away, but these words will never pass. No wonder. No wonder that it says that the word of God is perfect. And then the next sentence says, it converts a soul. I have come to the conclusion, I have seen such a change in a number of people just recently that have been just listening to the scriptures. I'm thinking, I've never seen anything like that. I've never seen anything like it. God has reserved that. And so what does he do? He has a Wonder Bible saturated in store after store that don't even want it. I went over to get one at Walmart. Nobody even knew they had it. And I finally found one lonesome stranger, a straggler through there somewhere. And he said, oh yeah, we have one somewhere, he says. And they had to look it up to find out where they kept it.
Wow.
And the checkout girl that checked me out just gave me a funny look, like, what are you buying that for? I read your mind. I don't know.
It might be because of the quality of workmanship. I mean, I didn't tell her this, but Bonnie Williams gave me one, and it didn't work.
It what?
It didn't work.
I've had one that was a little funny, but then I've gotten a second one, and it does.
Yeah, I'm going to get a second one, but I mean, the one that she gave me, it just did not. It was junk.
Well,
and it was the equipment. It wasn't.
And I think they're all the King James version. But what a strange thing that would be saturated throughout the whole nation. Walmart stores and Farm Fleets.
Well, the Gideon still make sure there's Bibles in every hotel room, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they're everywhere.
Well, I'm sure that Nancy Pelosi is not behind that.
I've got a thought about this verse you brought up. You know, Amos 11, the second half goes, but the hearing of the word, but the famine, behold, the day will come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land of hearing the words of the Lord. So, what do you call it then when you're in the word, but it's not inspired or augmented by the Spirit of God? I mean, I've read the Bible for years.
I probably just there's a letter then.
I mean, I'm thinking about this, and what I think this is saying is that you can read the word, you can be in the word, but if God's not the living God is not giving you revelation, it just remains the words.
Well, the scribes were in that position when Jesus was around. Mm-hmm. I mean, they copied every little dot and every perfect, man. And then when the living word came to them, they were against them.
Yeah. The famine is the lack of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. That's
amen.
Thank you. Much more eloquently said than yes. Blundering around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Never thought I answered.
You did.
You did.
That's yeah. What you were saying. I mean, that's just the way it was coming across to me. Was
well, that's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, and I knew that.
Because it, you know, God won't keep the word from you, but He can hold back the anointing.
Yeah, the revelation of His word.
And we've, I mean, that's what I would describe the first 25 years of my walk. I mean, not all the time, but I've read a lot of words in the Bible. But the last few years, those words have become alive.
Yeah, it's good.
But what if you read, listened to the Bible a lot, let's say? You did. But you didn't get revelations. Ever. Not by revelations, I don't know what I mean by revelations, but you didn't get this different understanding, but you still listened to it. I mean, I'm not saying anything, I'm just wondering. Because Jesus says, Jesus, or even the epistles, I don't think he talks a lot. He does talk, but he doesn't talk a lot about, like, so you can understand greater and more understanding. There is some that you need to understand, but Jesus talks about, you know, eat my flesh, drink my blood, you know, just, you know, eat it, just eat it. Jesus doesn't say, you know, eat my flesh, drink my blood, so you can gain understanding or anything like that. I may be missing something. I may be missing something, but I don't know if you were going to listen to the scriptures and not gain understanding. I wonder if you are still eating the flesh and blood like God intended to or not. Is the understanding of the scriptures an evidence that you are eating the flesh, that you are, is alive? I don't know. I mean, can you listen to the scriptures constantly and not gain deeper understanding or whatever? Can you still?
I think the tricky part is whether the understanding you gained is natural or spiritual. Because I think knowing scriptures and constantly taking them in is certainly a good thing. But this is how I reconcile it. Because scriptures say, and Keith quoted it, you know, back in Luke, where Jesus says, I thank you, God, for hiding it from the wise.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're a person who attacks the word intellectually, I don't think you can get there. Mm. And I think you would know it. You could repeat it. You could cite it. But
the worst part is when you think you're getting there. Yeah.
Well, but that's the other trap, you know, when you come forward as a little kid. But, you know, you're saying, I would, you know, as the word says, you know, far be it. But I would never suggest you shouldn't constantly eat or read or listen to the word. I think the it changes when the revelation or the anointing of the Holy Spirit comes, because then it takes it from a natural understanding to a spiritual understanding, and that's when things open.
You know, I think I just ran across that this afternoon. I was reading in John, and that's where he's saying, eat my flesh, you know, and that's always been kind of like, I mean, he says it so vividly, you know, and how can you can't do that? But then I read this little area down here. So he says, what then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Mm-hmm. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Mm-hmm. So somehow it's saying,
eat my words.
Yeah, well, yeah. You're not really eating flesh and blood, but you are, because he came in the flesh and blood. You know,
but he did say that. Oh, I lost it already. Sorry.
Yeah, flesh, blood.
The word. He came in the flesh to give the word. I mean, so he was the flesh bringing the word. So if you want to, if you say eat my flesh, then you're going to eat the word, because you're eating what he represented.
Mm-hmm. Because
not exactly what I meant, but that's the best I can reflect.
He came from heaven. Well, yeah. That has to be the spirit side of God that, you know, I mean.
Manifest the flesh.
Yeah.
Right. But then, I mean, doesn't the Bible say the word was made flesh?
Right, I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
So the word was made flesh, and then eat my flesh. So what he's saying is, it's a word.
Yeah, something word by word, I'm picking up, you know.
Well, this is what I was trying to get to, but I couldn't get the right, you know.
Well,
so, he became flesh. Mm-hmm. And when he says, this is my body, this is my flesh, partake of it, keep eating and living in the word.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, and you know, and like in the Lord's Prayer, you know, we pray for our daily bread, but that daily bread is the daily work, also, or more important, or more so. And isn't there a scripture there? I know there is. I don't know. I don't know nothing about it. But it's in the Old Testament. It says, you know, some and my word, your words, I will eat them. Literally, he says. Eat my words, or I will eat your words, or something about it's like verbatim. Eat, no, I will eat your words, or eat my words. It's like, Keith, that do you recall?
Yeah, oh, not sure.
But it's like verbatim.
Yeah.
Eat my word. I will eat your words, or.
Well, what, there was a prophet that he. Took the book, and it was sweet in his mouth, but bitter in his belly.
Yeah,
you know. Is that Isaiah or Jeremiah?
I think it's John in Revelation.
Yeah, John did it in Revelation. Yeah. He ate the scroll, it was bitter.
Yeah. Sweet in his mouth, or bitter in his belly.
Yeah, bitter in his belly.
Sounds like a Jeremiah thing to me.
Yeah, well, there was somebody else. Pablo's right. There's an Old Testament guy that did that, too, I think. And I think also that it was in a spiritual vision. And I think it's important to remember that, you know, that this is spiritual stuff that we're talking about. I mean, when we talk about eating his word, you know, he's talking about eating his word, like what I just said, eating his word, eating his flesh. That's the natural analog to something that you really actually do in the spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, that's right. And I mean, it's like my vision about the blood, you know. I'm coated in his blood right now. You don't see any blood on my clothes or on my skin or anything, but I'm talking about a spiritual thing. And that's what makes me acceptable before God. It's not the clothes that I'm wearing or the color of my skin. It's that I'm coated in his blood. And it's not natural blood. It's a spiritual thing. And it's because I believe, you know, and I accept his blood.
You know, when it says the word became flesh, is it the word became presented by the flesh, by a man? You know,
right?
That's really what it means, I think.
I think so too.
Exactly.
I mean, you know,
right?
And then, you know, all before that, he gives the type or whatever, or the, you know, let's see, this is I am the bread of life, you know.
Right.
And so, because it's referring to when God provided, you know, manna from heaven. And he says, I am the manna that's from heaven. Mm-hmm. This one, though, gives you eternal life. It's mm-hmm. not just sustaining you while you get through the desert.
Right.
It's eternal life.
Right.
You know. Oh, yeah. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Mm-hmm. So, if you'll never hunger and you never thirst, you really aren't having to eat the actual, you know.
That's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah.
That what we, you know how we talk about taking the word in, and, you know, don't study it, and don't try to, you know, analyze what you have taken in it. Is because it is indeed food,
right?
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean,
right?
It is bread. Bread
life
is
giving some
bread is something that you put in your mouth mm-hmm. and right. you eat. So, and obviously we don't put the word in our mouth, but we need to treat it
right.
and present it as food,
mm-hmm. yeah,
not as who knows what else. Because if when you treat it as food and you present it as food. Then you have the understanding that you need it daily.
That's good.
You need it all the time
yeah,
to,
that's good.
To live.
That's good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Very good.
And it's you know, my blood is food indeed. I mean, my flesh is food indeed. Mm-hmm. He's talking about his word, but nothing else but his word.
Right.
Nothing else.
Well, something occurred to me the other day in Ezekiel 37, where God told Ezekiel, he said, I want you to prophesy, or speak, actually, speak to these dry bones, and tell them, you know, to hear the word of the Lord. And then the Lord told him, what I want you to do is explain to them what I'm talking about. Did anybody read that in Ezekiel?
What's that?
I said, then God told Ezekiel, he said, now I want you to explain to these guys what I'm talking about.
Oh.
Oh yeah, no, I didn't see that.
No, that's not in there.
Oh, which verse is that?
Oh, I was trying to. I was going to look it up.
No,
where's on test?
Yeah.
The pop quiz.
Yeah.
No. Don't buy what I'm selling.
Don't buy that.
He's a little too subtle.
All that God told him to do was to tell him to hear the word of the Lord.
Yeah.
And you think. But the modern churchianity would say, but they have to have instructors.
No. See, that's why you have to present it as food, because when you eat, you're not separating the bread, the flour with the yeast and the salt and the egg yolk and whatever. And you eat it, and you're done. There's no pass eating it.
I several people in the last couple of weeks that I have told them to start listening to the scriptures, and I've explained to them that what you want to do is you're not going to try to understand it. You just listen, and it will affect you just by listening to it. They got it.
Good.
And it's not, that don't make any sense.
No. It's
but it made sense to them.
We make it much harder.
Yeah.
It's not hard for God at all.
Yeah.
I was. Trying to track down things, but you were you saying, or was a comment made that when you talk about the Lord's Prayer and it says, "Give us our daily bread."
So
the Lord's Prayer, where it says, "Give us our daily bread."
Yes,
we're referring to that as spiritual understanding.
Well, I see it both ways. Give us our daily bread, because you know our bodies need food, but.
Oh, I'm a Catholic. That's what I took it to mean until about 10 seconds ago.
No, right.
Because the next line in it is, and forgive us our sins, or forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. He's not talking about not being hungry. He's talking about being fed of God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing he says, and forgive us for our sins. It's to me, it's a spiritual God. Connotation, yeah, and I good. Never saw that.
It is.
Wow.
Right
it,
now.
It is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right?
It's amazing.
Yeah. Today, give us our daily bread. But it's like, no, this is every day, give me more. Every day, give me more of God.
Right.
Wow.
See, we can take it.
to the upright room. I apologize.
No. Yeah, we can take it in a flesh way, but yeah, but it's all spirit.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of like going along, and we're talking about Gretna, but Dan the Grant, well, yeah, I'm talking about making sure we have food. You know, you're asking for God to make sure you know, I'm clothed, I have a warm place to sleep, and I got food.
You
got to
do that.
And then you go, I don't think that's the bread he's talking about. We're talking about eat me.
Yeah, you know, other needs,
because he didn't care. Think about it. Mm-hmm. Jesus did not care about our natural needs. He said,
he didn't.
You have to do this. Think about everything.
He told us not to care.
His whole point was eternal thoughts.
Because mm-hmm. God will take care of the rest.
Yeah, God, and if you're hungry on earth, so what?
That's why I think, you know, if you get a little unsure about the manna and the flesh, just keep reading verse 63, John, you know?
Yeah.
Just keep reading. That's kind of what happened when I went, it's like, well, if that confuses you, just keep reading this. You know, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Mm-hmm. Flesh profits nothing. Mm-hmm. It's the spirit that gives life.
Amen.
And then, you know, it kind of, I think if we get that really ingrained in our spirit, then you're not confused by all that other, you know. Well, for one, if you are, but you keep reading it, then God's spirit will give you
the just truth. Like he did just now.
Yeah, he'll give you the
just
light,
like he did just
you
now.
Know, you'll see it.
He did just
now. That's the amazing part about, you know, his... Mm-hmm. The spirit doing it is you might not get it for a while, mm-hmm. but eventually,
yeah, we'll just get back
if
to
it's important
like,
to you.
Why should you keep doing it? Because eventually, his time is going to come, and it's for you to know the real meaning behind those words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Here is the scripture I was talking about, Jeremiah 15:16. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your word became to me like gladness and joy of my heart.
Yeah, good one. Okay. Yeah. Glad that we got that found out.
Uh-huh.
I'm glad that we found that.
Yeah, I wasn't making it. Yeah,
well, I didn't wonder about that with you. It's in there somewhere, trust me.
Yeah, trust me.
Not so much for me. Love you.
Yeah.
I'm sure I could just do that.
Well, I could have made all this up.
Yeah.
So
I just noticed another scripture. It says, do not labor for the food which perishes,
but for the food which endures
to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Where is that?
That's in John... 6. Boy, John 6 is long. Wow, that goes into this verse 70-something. But I noticed another one here that was kind of cool earlier when I was reading it. Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God?
Yeah.
We touched on that a little bit probably the other day before Christmas. Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God. Now, this is interesting. That you believe me. Mm-hmm. No. This is the work of God. That you believe in him whom he sent. Oh, wait a minute. That would be Jesus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, see, I read that wrong earlier. Because I thought it said, believe in the one who sent me.
Yeah, and him whom he sent.
That you believe in him whom he sent. Okay, cool.
And when they talk,
good thing I read that again.
When the verse is when they ask him, works plural, you know.
Yeah.
Do we do the work? How can we work the works of God? And he says, this is the work of God, singular. You know, there's only one thing you need to do, and that's listen to his voice and believe what he says and do it.
You know, we had this discussion on works a couple weeks ago, and it was funny because. Then I was reading, and I don't know if we want to get back into that tonight or not, but in John 5:17, it says, God is working, and I'm going to do his works, and,
Well, I used to think like that when I first got saved. I wanted to save the lost, and I wanted to heal people, and then when I came here, I wanted to fight demons, you know? And I wanted to do all kinds of stuff, you know. I wanted to work the works of God because I had a lot of zeal in me and I got filled with the Holy Spirit and all that.
But, you know, nowadays I'm finding out the only thing that I really can do and the really only thing I really should do is to listen to him whom God has sent.
But, you know, I think we can. Mm-hmm. I think what I got from reading that was there are spiritual works.
Oh, yeah.
That can still be done. See, we were in talking about being in his rest. Mm. And then you continue from your own works. Mm-hmm. You know?
Right.
So, we might want to touch on this down the road again, maybe.
Well, unless you get it all figured out.
I don't know. I just thought it was pretty interesting that a whole bunch of works got quoted, you know, after we had just spent hours talking about being in the rest, which is true. Yeah, I mean, we do definitely want to be in the rest. But it's like, there's spiritual works, and I think that's why that's total different than from legalistic works or flesh works or, you know.
Yeah.
And if you're thinking it up in your head that you need to go witness and everything else, well, then that's not the right work.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I'll shut up now.
That's good.
That's good.
In this has nothing to do with this, but in Luke 9:44, Jesus said, "Let these sayings sink down into your ears." For the Son of Man shall be delivered into the hands of men. But it wasn't just that saying; it was a lot of other things that he had said. He said, "Let these sayings sink down into your ears." Now, and to show you how good and everything, you know, how they received it. Verse 45.
Keep going.
"For they undertook not the same."
Exactly.
"And it was hid from them that they perceived it not. And they feared to ask him of anything."
That's what got me, you know. It really used to get me because he just got through telling them, "Let these things sink down into your ears." And then the next verse, you know, they didn't understand. And they were afraid to ask him, and it was hid from them. And I'm like, what are you telling them to listen for if you're going to hide it from them?
Well,
you know. But I got by that, and I got by that just because of time. You know, they did remember all those things that he told them.
We grew up with time.
Yeah, we're like, we'll be told the word of God that we need when we need it.
Right.
And until then, he doesn't have to tell us anything because there's no need for it.
Well, it's kind of keep hearing the word of God. Hear the word of God.
Yep.
Keep hearing it. Because then
you'll remember. The Holy Spirit will eventually sink into your remembrance.
Yeah, it will sink into your ears.
Yeah, that's stumbling for the longest time. I, the very next verse. You know.
I have a conviction.
What?
And it is, you know, in Psalm 1, it says, "Blessed is the man, who delight is in the word of God." Mm-hmm. And on this word that he meditate day and night. Why? Why? What's the difference?
He delights in.
Huh?
It's what he delights in.
Yeah, but why does he meditate on it day and night? And why does God bless him if he does?
Well, the blessing is this is the man who's the blessing is that your delight is the word of God. Or
that is a blessing.
That, you know what I mean? That is the blessing.
And I'm okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to jump way over to 2 Peter 1:4.
Okay.
"By the exceedingly great and precious promises, we become partakers of God's divine nature." So we are being changed into God's image and likeness by the word of God, and we continue to take it in. I have seen fantastic changes in all you guys. You know what? We're beginning to develop God's nature. But it's small yet. But it's happening. It's happening to all of us.
Lord.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, we're not moving mountains, and we're not...
You know...
And that does be better.
Okay, so we are partaking God's divine nature, right?
Yes.
But we're not moving mountains, and we're not doing whatever else. Guess who else is not moving mountains? God himself.
Yeah, there you go.
So not because we are not doing all these wonderful, amazing things that we want to see, means that we are not fully like God's nature. Because God doesn't seem it necessary to do anything amazingly here right now.
Yep, exactly.
You know what I mean?
You know, I don't know who I told her. Maybe all of you, I don't know. But I see what God is doing here is a small type of what happened to Israel coming out of Egypt. They set out in a desert for 4 years. How do we exist? How are we even here? Let alone these fantastic changes that are taking place in us. And so what happens? The nations all the way around them were looking at the Israelites and they were saying, you know, their God is keeping them. And I'm wondering if that is the image that people are getting. God is keeping us. Something's going on here.
Definitely.
You know what I'm saying? And Corky kind of gave me the indication that might be true. People are not running away from us or whatever, you know what I mean? There's a lot of people that we know that have been here that are their friends. And it wouldn't take much if they'd be right in the middle of this. Hmm. They got to go through what some of us had to go through. They got to go through what Ken went through. What kind of a weird thing is this now? That Keith has come up with.
Oh, yeah, way back.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people thought that.
Yeah.
You know,
I thought that myself.
That's Keith's new thing, you know. That's his new deal, you know.
When I first started listening, I kind of thought that myself.
You know, what am I doing? And it was funny because, and these comments get made even now, but it's like, wow. Now I got, what's it going to make a big deal on the word? You know, mm-hmm. Like, we're going to hear about the word. And then, of course, like I've said, yeah, and then all of a sudden I started asking myself, well, wait a minute. What could be really bad about having the word, you know?
Yeah,
but that took the Holy Spirit, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that wasn't in myself that I came up with that.
Yeah, but again, if you treat it and you present it as food, you understand that it's a daily thing and constant. Not that you eat sandwiches nonstop.
Yeah,
but it's constant.
But that's the way. And for a while, that was the thing. The way we were presenting it, we were saying this is the word of life, this is food, and I need to be eating it, you know.
And it compares to food in every way. It's like you eat it and you don't think about it, you don't, nothing. You just eat it and let the food, you know,
nurture
do whatever it does. Whatever, you know what I mean? Does anybody understand how your organs, I mean, it's like you eat and the liver does this, and the other thing does this, and the kidneys, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That'd be some parallel thing that goes on with the spirit.
Exactly. The
spirit digesting it.
Right. The spirit does the whole thing. You don't have to...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The spirit does it. Mm-hmm. No, don't eat and spit out the things you don't like. Just eat it all. You know?
Throw in that one little comment. Your intelligence will not get you to heaven. Not one bit of it.
Mm-hmm. No.
I was tearing through my stuff yesterday, Christmas Day. And all I was looking for was a blank sheet of paper, you know, to write on, because I'm looking for jobs now. And I ran across some old Bible college notes that I had from 1985, I think. And we had our Bible college here for a short time.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I mean, the page was just full You know, I wrote in pen, and I mean, I wrote in the margins and on everything, and I underlined all the scripture. And I started reading this stuff. And I mean, the scriptures were the same, but and some of the conclusions were right, I guess, but it was almost like reading a foreign language. Mm-hmm. It really was. And I remember, you know, Pablo, I was listening to tapes and reading the Bible every single day. But I didn't. I was trying to focus on what some guy was telling me, not what the Spirit was telling me. And just reading it, I thought, wow, I have changed so much. Mm. You know, and the more I read of that, the notes that I got, the more I thought, this is garbage. I mean, what a waste of time. I just wanted to strangle myself, you know. I put my heart and soul into this. I mean, I remember a time, this was leading up to my Bible college thesis, these were the most important notes that I ever took in my life, you know. I mean, this is what I was here for, you know. It was that important to me. But it wasn't the Spirit.
But that's why we went through all that. To see that that's what, you know, just what we were missing.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it was all for a reason.
Yeah. I was taking the word in all the time, but it wasn't, you know, the Holy Spirit wasn't feeling it.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. It was some guy.
Because we were depending a lot on the person.
Well, I don't know what's happened since, but when we first started listening to the scripture, I went out to Seattle and I had a number of meetings with a lot of the people that we knew. And one of the people that kept coming to him was one of the Bible college teachers from Seattle. And one day he gave a testimony, and he'd been listening to the scripture for a year, maybe. He said, well, what I did, he said, I took all my notes and I burned them.
Good for him.
I burned them.
Who was that?
I can't remember what his name was. I could see his face, but I don't remember what his name was.
Oh, no.
But he'd been listening a couple of years, you know.
Mm-hmm. I was really hoping some of those guys would catch the revelation, you know.
Though?
Some of those Bible college teachers would get the revelation of listening to God's word. You know?
Well, some of them have been real antagonistic because they're convinced that it's got to go through the head, you know.
Yeah.
I guess that's where we were too once.
Yeah.
That's
don't work that way.
Just a different form of Catholicism.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that's exactly
right.
What it is.
Oh, you know,
right.
I was watching the news, and it was on Christmas Day, I think I got back. So there was different people. But anyway, they had this, one of the priests from Sacred Heart was sharing with some of what the holiday was about, you know. And he said, and God came in the flesh. And I just thought, you know, even if you just sit down and think about that with your brain, it don't even make sense.
Right.
It's pretty uncontroversial, though, in mainstream Christianity.
Oh, I know. They just accept.
That's what happened.
Yeah. But they have nobody, you know, that's saying, they don't hear anybody saying, bringing the scriptures that,
right.
You know, like, really, then how did he die? And then, you know, it's like he couldn't be tempted, but he was. Mm-hmm. You know, there's all this stuff that's just, but, you know, yeah.
Hmm. I was thinking, Tim, you were referring to a place where it was hidden from the disciples, you know. Mm-hmm. And then later, it apparently became clear to them. It became unhidden. And I wonder if maybe the Bible isn't conveying something there.
It is.
It's telling us, hey, there's going to be a process here where mm-hmm. you're just not going to get it.
Right.
You know, and then later on you will.
That's what I learned from that. You know,
yeah.
There's so many other scriptures that I don't get, like the one about the servant, the guy who was in charge of the money.
Oh, yeah, right.
You know, and he was caught cheating on his master. And then he cheated on him again, ripped him off again, and then the guy discovered he ripped him off again the second time. He said, oh, good job. He said, oh, that's a really smart guy that you are, you know, and all this. And then you're supposed to get everlasting habitations for a reward. And I'm like, I don't understand this at all. And whenever I hear it, I say the same thing to the Lord, you know, if I'm alone. But I know now that I need to take it in, And someday the Spirit will make it make sense to me. You know, I don't have to understand. No, I don't have to know everything.
Mm-hmm. Come I wonder time. If that kind of lines up a little with the father asked the two sons to come and work.
Oh, yeah.
And the one said, no, nope. I ain't coming. And the other said, yeah, I'll come. Well, the one that said, no, I'm not, eventually did go.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one didn't.
Yep.
And it's kind of that, it's kind of like, well, you realize you're going to be fired, but then you really used your whatever
position
and experience to know to go talk to all the people that, so that you wouldn't be left, you know, being a servant or something.
Right. He said something in the way of exercising authority there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know for sure.
Well, that makes sense. That's as closest to anything that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
There is something commendable in exercising the authority that's been granted to you, and
it's like you were being resourceful with what you knew how to do.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and shouldn't it be in some way pleasing to the Father that we would exercise the authority that has been granted to us? You know.
Yeah, as I say that, I'm still not completely sure I see all of that.
No, that's far from the whole story.
Yeah,
but
maybe isn't the bigger story or the bigger
picture
moral of that is I done screwed up, and I've got to seek forgiveness. Mm-hmm. I done messed up, but I know it.
What about it in a funny way? Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, kind of like, I made this stand,
Well, he wanted a place to live. You know,
he knew he was going to get kicked out. Well, you know what's amazing is that is think of the guy that he worked for. Pretty benevolent.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Unrealistically.
I mean, what boss would say?
Yeah, the first time he phoned out, he got ripped off and fired the guy. The second time he phoned out, he got ripped off again by the same guy. He commended him.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that's not real, man. People don't do that for putting up real life. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And then for us to get a spiritual lesson out of it, it really caused me to scratch my head.
Well, it's time, you know. I mean, eventually, you know, he'll let us know what it means or whatever. But for right now, I'm satisfied not understanding it.
Well, yeah. And
I'm ignorant.
Good segue back, you know, at the point where the scripture says, you know, let it sink in. You know, I kind of have a thing about the scripture says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. You know, and you go, well, we all have ears. We're all trying to hear. What do you mean? He who has ears, let him hear. So it's obviously talking about something that you can't hear until God opens that up.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like that same setting. You know, but, I mean, we're exhorted. You know, he who has ears to hear, let him hear, which says, you know, there's more going on here.
Right.
You know?
See, but Jesus forgot to say something right there, because he did say it in Revelation, and he added, "Would the Spirit have to say to the churches?"
Yeah,
he says, you know, he wasn't here to hear. Let him hear what the Spirit has to say.
What the Spirit is?
Yes,
but
it's not ears. It just said one ear.
Yeah.
He has an ear.
Has an ear. Yeah. Well, I think that's.
In translation, it can get weird. But he was hearing or whatever.
Yeah, but this, I think that's the whole thing. I've always taken it to mean that there, you know, you have to be paying attention to be able to catch it.
Mm-hmm.
And you just can't do it in the natural. Because if you do it in the natural, like I've done so long, I just zip right over the letters and go. And then later on, it's like, oh.
You know.
Maybe it means this.
You know, about all the things that we listen and we don't understand, and then we understand them later or whatever, and the Holy Spirit, and so Jesus says, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose it to you, whatever is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and discloses it to you. So, my understanding of this is that there's many things that I gotta say to you, but you cannot understand them right now or bear them right now. But this, now, there's not gonna be there will never be more printed words on the Bible.
Right.
There's not gonna be longer chapters or inserting verses. It's the out of the same print. There will be more understanding,
right,
through the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So we are supposed to not understand everything.
Yep.
Or if you understand it,
right,
tomorrow is going to mean more. A greater thing. Exactly. Not different, just greater.
Exactly.
So I have many things to say to you. It's not like a couple. Mm-hmm. I have many more things to say. Mm-hmm. Out of the same book. Out of the same book. You know what I mean?
Well, Is it those are words of spirit nature,
right?
Are they maybe geared or aimed towards our spirit more than our soul?
Yep.
Cool.
You expect that to be, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you
yep, sure would.
And so maybe the spirit has to be trained and so forth.
Oh, sure.
Grow,
I believe, but yeah, train, grow, whatever. It's got to increase. Yeah. Your spiritual mind's got to keep maturing.
Well, that's what it says. Your spiritual mind. Yeah. That's the word that's used. What's a spiritual mind?
Mm-hmm. Well, so, what I don't have yet.
You know, Paul says.
Oh, it's coming, Ken. You know, you do.
I think you do.
It's probably in part.
Oh, yeah. And I know it is, but. Yeah.
And Paul says, you know, I give you vegetables first, and then I give you meat. So you first, you don't have this great spiritual understanding right away, but that's why you want to get vegetables. Then you start getting meat. You know, a baby can't have meat, no matter how much you grind it up. You know, vegetables, yeah, you can mash a potato or whatever, mash a carrot. So... I don't even know why I'm saying that. Somebody was saying something.
So if the Bible says to walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, are we talking about the Holy Spirit or are we talking about the human spirit?
Why, isn't it the same?
I mean, no. Yeah, we all have a spirit. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14? He said, I will pray with the Spirit, I will pray with the understanding. He's not talking about the Holy Spirit. And he said, I will sing with the Spirit, I will sing with the understanding. He's talking about his own being. You know what I mean? Otherwise it wouldn't make sense.
Right.
It has to be something that's important.
What if you can sing in the spiritual language that you've been given?
Yeah, but I'm saying your human spirit. See, that's the thing that is really emphasized in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians.
Okay, but when you're born again, you have the Spirit of God in you. Do you have the Spirit of God and the Spirit of you?
Well, you have a human spirit.
I think they're really aligned when you are truly walking in the Spirit. Your human spirit is very closely aligned with the Holy Spirit.
Your human spirit is following after the Holy Spirit.
What makes me desire the Word of God, like I do?
Well, it was given to you a love for the truth.
Your human spirit.
Oh, but where the human spirit has got to? We are body, soul, and spirit.
Yeah, but that part of it you didn't decide it. He gave it to you.
Yeah,
that's right.
Without the spirit, the body is dead. The body, it's not electrical impulses that keep us going.
Right.
It's a spirit God put in us. He breathed into man the spirit of life, and man became a living soul.
When Jesus rose that one girl from the dead, Jairus' daughter, yeah, he said he called to her, and her spirit came again.
And her spirit came back into her.
Her spirit came again.
But I'm saying, so...
You know, your spirit could have a wisdom that your conscience, your conscious self, is unaware of.
Right. That's right. You know,
I think it.
That's absolutely right.
So perhaps it was your human spirit that was that's been responding to create a hunger for the Word of God, mm-hmm. even if your conscious self would, you know.
Because the flesh will never want God.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the very fact that you want to hear the Word of God is your human spirit, because the Bible does say that the natural man can't understand the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually
so
discerned.
The natural man can't. You know? What is the other man?
Well, now my question is, the natural man can't, but your spirit is natural. Is it not? It's part of you.
Okay, I'm having a little bit of a difficulty.
Yeah.
With the phrase human spirit, I'm just having I can't put it together.
Well, it says we're made of body, soul, and spirit.
The body without
right.
the spirit.
We're made out of body, which is human.
Right.
Soul and spirit are not human. So, human spirit.
Of course, now God said He breathed life.
It's His, but it's
Adam.
But it's still the Spirit of God.
Yeah. It's got spirit, but it's not the whole, it's not the baptism of the Spirit.
Well,
you know, I guess everybody has it.
Really, I think you're right to be a little puzzled.
Really,
and I think
really
there's a lot we simply don't know. But I believe our human spirit has an affinity, indeed maybe even a connection, with the Holy Spirit. So perhaps we are, in some kind of sense, sharing the blood, the flow of the blood, you know, or, you know, blood.
Well, by human spirit, you mean like your personal spirit.
Yeah.
Not a human. Because a human is a human is a body. Human.
Well, I would... The question I'd ask then, because first off, spirit is being used three different places here, and that's tough. But what if we say God is within me? Okay, are you saying that's the human spirit, or is that God's spirit, or is that the Holy Spirit that's acting upon me? And so, when someone says, no, that's the human spirit, not the Holy Spirit. I understand the difference that's trying to be talked about, but
I think there,
got to be careful there, because we're saying spirit all the time. It's a spirit, it's a spirit, it's a spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. God's spirit, the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to say, okay, you got three spirits there, and you're trying to make them three different spirits, and that's a slippery slope to me.
There is one scripture that Paul mentions somewhere in the New Testament. I don't know exactly where it is. It's in one of the epistles, but it says, brethren, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of spirit. God does not need to cleanse himself from filthiness of spirit.
Right.
Humans.
Talking about the devil.
There's demonic spirits.
And I'm assuming that they're, yeah.
You know, we need to cleanse ourselves from filthiness of our human spirits.
But see, okay, I've never heard in the Bible the word spirit right after it. So just the fact that we're using it, it conflicts with my...
Yeah, it could be an add-on. It could be wrong.
While they wouldn't say human spirit, I think there is a reference to your spirit.
My spirit.
Your spirit.
Yes, and my spirit is the spirit of God. I don't think it's the spirit of God.
Even that, you know where I think we're going to get in trouble? If you start thinking that your human spirit can make the right decision.
Yeah, exactly.
That's where I'm troubled.
Yeah,
that's bad. That's even if it's a spirit.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Because why are some of us hearing the Word of God, and why aren't all these other people aren't? And maybe never will.
Mm-hmm.
They have a spirit.
Yeah.
I sure do.
And the only way it changes is if God influences it, mm-hmm. because He knows your heart better than you do.
That's right.
You know? Mm-hmm.
Yes, you know, if, yeah, even the ones that everyone has a spirit.
Right.
You know, in regardless if... the tares and the wheat have spirit. Let's put it that way. If you go to hell or heaven, you have a spirit.
Yeah.
But as I believe that the tares still have the spirit of, is the spirit of God. Only their flesh or whatever are not, you know, I don't know. It's just that, you know, my soul has eternal life. My spirit has always been. You know, my human, my what you're looking at doesn't have eternal life. It's my soul which has eternal life. And I will have a new body, and then the same soul, I suppose.
Well, I think your spirit has eternal life, too.
Right, my spirit, because it's the spirit of God. See, the spirit that is giving me, I mean, you know what, I could be, if I'm all open to scriptures, but I'm, my spirit is the spirit of God. I don't even know that I can say that it belongs to me.
Well, yeah. You know, there is the scripture, the 10th, just referred to, talking about cleansing ourselves from filthiness of spirit. That sounds distinct from the spirit of God.
Yes, that the spirit is filthy. The spirit is filthy.
Uh-huh.
Let's read it.
Well, it's also, I was kind of searching just human spirit. The closest one, I guess the point, James 2:26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Mm-hmm. I mean, at least that's the point where it says the flesh without spirit is dead.
Right.
So to say that you don't have a spirit.
No, we do have a
spirit. Can't do that. But
we do have a spirit.
A human spirit.
Yeah.
And trying to differentiate that between God in you and the Holy Spirit, I think is where we're going around the horn here. Because, that's maybe a bad way to phrase it. I think we're searching for more revelation.
Yeah. I think that's where I
do think this.
We could also be going around the horn.
I think our human spirit can have an affinity to other spirits,
which could be demonic, or yes, true.
But it also could, you know, be the Holy Spirit. And when there is that close affinity, maybe there is a mixing, and so for all practical purposes, our own spirit is the spirit of God, because there's a blending there, or a meshing. But we're speculating. You know,
if someone made the comment to me that your spirit could be godly or ungodly, I'm okay with that, because I'm not perfected. You know, I have demons.
Yeah.
So you say.
And then there's the quote, like, what is the spiritual man? Because that is said in the scripture.
A godly man.
Well, he tells you, Jesus tells you in John 3, he goes, whatsoever is born of spirit is spirit. He goes, if you want to be in the kingdom of God, you must be born again.
Yeah.
And he's talking about your spirit being regenerated from God.
No, I don't. It doesn't say your spirit being regenerated.
Well, if you're born again, I think
you have the spirit of God, which is that will be your spirit. I mean,
but if it's again, it means you had something already.
Yeah, right. You were God first, and now you're God again. You know, I mean, that doesn't. You know. But yeah, John 3, I mean, he makes it clear, and it's a spiritual understanding that he's telling Nicodemus. Nicodemus is desperately trying to understand it. He's sitting there going, I really believe he was serious when he said, you know, what do I got to do, crawl back into my mother's womb and be born again?
I think he's messing with Jesus a little bit.
Well, maybe he was, but still, he was there at that time.
Yeah, he was
serious about talking to him.
He came to find out.
He really wanted to know, and Jesus really told him. Yeah. He said, look, what's born of the flesh is flesh. What's born of the spirit is spirit. Mm-hmm. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again.
Yeah.
And that's really simple. You know, your spirit being regenerated. Enough. And he told Nicodemus, your body don't have to be regenerated. Don't have to crawl back into your mother's womb.
But yeah. You do have to be born again.
Where does it talks about the being body, soul, and spirit?
You know, I'm not sure you're going to find it
all over pretty much.
I know what we got to pray at the end of the night about.
Clarification.
Yeah, God show us. Glenn got it with one word.
I'm sitting here trying to figure all this out, and I'm thinking, this hole's getting deeper and deeper.
I am not sure that the Bible gives us the tools to have clarity on it, though.
Yeah,
I don't know that it does.
He's only giving us enough information to what's relevant to our situation, you know?
So we are body, soul, and spirit.
Yeah.
Okay, but who's saying that?
There's a reference to it.
Huh? So I want to see it in
the... Well,
really in the meeting.
He did say it.
Don't listen to him.
I want to know.
Well, I believe there is a reference, but I can't... Yeah.
I don't know where it is.
Where is
it?
First Thessalonians 5:23.
Okay.
Sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
He came through.
1 Thessalonians 5:23. I'm only reading part of it, but sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay.
That's the first place I could see. Okay. There's two references where you see spirit, soul, and body, all of them, at one time.
Right.
And that one is the only place I see where it says in the same sentence, same scripture.
Now, that body doesn't exactly sound like flesh there, as like in the flesh man there, if we're supposed to be blameless. But
it's kind of like sanctified through and through. May you. It's talking about a hope for condition.
Mm-hmm. Maybe so, yeah.
So it's not like you are walking. Your body is spotless. No. That's not what it said.
It's an aspiration.
I'll throw another one at you.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It says we are made in his image.
Yeah, right.
I think that's the spirit part.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I don't know that for sure, but that's kind of where I've ended up for now.
I think you're right.
But I don't know how that connects to all this necessarily. But
you know, I'm not sure the word spirit always is referring to exactly the same thing. It can have different meaning in different contexts.
That's right.
Well, that was the point I was trying to make earlier about we're using the same word and we're kind of talking about three entities.
Right.
And they're not, they're clearly not the same entity.
Yeah. Isn't it somewhere in 1st or 2nd John, there are many spirits? Beloved, there are many spirits.
Well, right. And most of them.
You think that would be maybe demonic spirits.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. Another type of spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It ain't a human spirit, it ain't God's spirit.
You know, the breath of life can be referred to as a spirit. You know, maybe that's what happened with Jairus' daughter. You know,
is there a possibility, according to the scriptures, that until you're born again, you don't have a spirit?
No. I don't think so.
No.
I think there's too many references. He wouldn't
say born again. You know, he wouldn't say born again.
If you're born again, that's when you obtain the spirit for the first time.
Born again is when you
the Holy Spirit.
I think when you receive the spirit from above.
Yeah.
I think that God is so awesome.
Yeah, right.
That every conceived baby is given a spirit.
Yeah, they are.
It does say that. It says, and he breathes life into every coming
creature. Or whatever.
Yeah.
And what is the baptism in the Holy Spirit?
Well, don't bring that in here now.
Let's figure out that first one.
Well, I think you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. I think it's the equivalent of the water.
Yeah.
So you're you know. But I kind of goes to what Pablo was saying before. You know, if it's spirit, it's got to be God. You know. And I think if you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you have, as Corky was saying, the Spirit of God indwelling.
Right.
And which has to have some kind of interaction with our human spirit. You know,
which can, but that actually comes after being born again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Okay. So, Keith, can I ask you what your whole point about bringing up this human spirit was? Where were you trying to go with this?
It's fall.
Yeah, I mean, we were having a really nice men's meeting, and then all of a sudden he started talking about the human spirit.
But see, this is what really my and thing is that we are talking about the human spirit, but that terminology is a terminology that we've created. Is you know, for example, like. Okay, I believe in this that Jesus is coming again. I believe that Jesus is, you know, is going to separate the tares from the wheat. We're going to all go up, and he said, just like he came down, I mean, just like he went up, he's going to come back down, and we're going to go up with him, and a bunch of stuff after that. Some people call that the rapture, but that's a made up terminology.
Mm-hmm.
I will never. Talk about God's word and use the word rapture.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. The rapture means this and that for some people.
I think there's a better spiritual basis than this rapture business for there being a human spirit, though.
Yes.
There's a better basis than that.
Well, maybe just drop the human part then. We have a spirit.
A spirit.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
But then you have to decide how you interact, how it is used or whatever, because
as a human being.
That's right. Yeah. I believe so. Yeah.
No. As a human being, we have a spirit.
Yes.
There's a term in there someplace about the cleanliness, having the cleanliness of the spirit.
Yeah, well, Tim just referred to it.
Well, it says the kingdom of God suffers corruption.
There's another place where it says to be, is that the one where be rid of the filthiness of the
mean?
Spirit?
Right.
Is that what you said?
Well, yeah. It could be filthiness, yeah.
Something. Yeah, I ran across that and I went, whoa, what is that?
Mm-hmm. When we are delivered of a demonic spirit, that filthiness is true. It's a pretty good definition of that.
Yeah.
And I've got deliverance coming, I think.
I do, too.
You know?
Yeah, we need enlightenment.
Yeah.
I think this clearly falls under more revelation to follow and confuse the wise.
We're sorry, Shelley.
Sorry to everyone who's listening.
I think it was a good discussion.
You know, we've had discussions, though, and a week or two later, remember? All of a sudden, we started reading some of the scriptures, and it got clarified.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, that can happen.
This is a little deeper.
And perhaps some kind of clarification later on will be.
Yeah.
Some of them will never know.
On this side.
And that's okay.
On this side.
Yeah. And you know what? That's okay.
Yeah. No, I mean, things like this don't, your salvation doesn't hinge in understanding some things like this.
I think that's probably true.
You know what I mean? It does not hinge on that.
And that's why you got to get not too wrapped up.
No. Exactly.
I mean, no one should go away and lose sleep over this.
No.
And yet there are enough spiritual references to what sounds like our spirit so that it'd be nice to know what's being talked about. Mm-hmm. You know, that'd be a good thing.
Yeah, I agree. See, when we were talking, I was kind of like, well, my spirit is just kind of another way of saying my personalities or my choices or, you know, my nature. Whether it's good, bad, you know, I make bad choices, I make good choices. So my spirit is not yet perfected. But it is my essence. And it's different than my flesh and bones, and it's different than my soul.
Well, I don't know if it is different from your soul. I think the suggestion is that the soul is the personality, the decision making, you know, the executive branch. I'll tell you one thing. I think my own thinking probably was messed up by Don Barnett, who made this thing kind of pat. He had it all kind of worked out. It was pat. And I don't think the Bible gives us a basis for finding it real pat.
Nope.
You know? So,
So your summation is it's a little bit hairy.
Yeah, and watch out for Don Barney.
Teachings.
It's reported on. But Pablo, I have to admit, I heard that combination of words and I went, you know, a plague went up. And said, yeah. You know, Keith said he really wanted us to challenge him when he said something that didn't. And I'm like,
Where did that you said I will pray at the understanding, then I will pray at my spirit? Yeah. Paul is saying, where
First
is that?
14, yeah. Early on in the chapter.
Where?
First Corinthians 14.
Oh, 14.
Yeah.
Verse 3 or 4.
Which I'm going, man, we've been all over that. Yeah, I don't quite recall it. So I was like,
because
it is a pretty deep
chapter. The thing is, if you're praying with your understanding, how are you praying?
Thinking in your vernacular, English for us.
English? So then if you're praying in the spirit, how are you praying?
I think in tongues.
Yeah. Then that's the gift of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Not the human.
Well, see Charlie, it's pretty pale.
Okay, about that. You're making a choice.
Yeah. Well, you decide to pray in English, you decide to pray in tongues.
Yeah, he's right on it.
Forget that's the where I'm at.
Yeah, there you go. I think you got it, Ken. Don't swallow it unless it's real. Yeah, I'm reading it.
What is the conclusion then?
Okay.
Yeah. What's the verse number we want us to start looking at?
Okay, listen to this. Oh, I see what you're saying, maybe. Or if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful.
That tells you something.
I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding.
So when you're speaking, would you pray in tongues?
That's part of it, I think.
It's kind of like your spirit is actually praying in the spirit. I think.
Well, obviously, if you want to pray in tongues, you have to make a decision to do that.
Yeah.
So, is that your spiritual mind making that decision? Well, you know?
The thing about it, see, most people, most churchgoers, believe that the soul and the spirit are one and the same. But they're not.
See, the thing
they
is,
can't be
Charlie, Charlie, did you see what Keith said?
But, here's where I want to back it up. You can't pray in the spirit, though, or you can't pray with a tongue unless it was given to you.
Yeah.
So, you know, then it's a decision whether you want to use the gift or not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You mean like free will?
Yeah.
No, I mean that's important there.
Yeah.
It's a free will decision that you're going to.
Yep. Okay.
To call that. To call that.
So this might be a case. It's like, well, what does that connotation of spirit really mean? You know. I think if everyone just keeps listening, hearing that part of the scripture whenever it comes up, and waiting to see what we.
Oh, I was still talking about the spirit thing.
Yeah, well, I don't care.
No. What I'm saying is that we're still trying to. Yes.
Well, I was trying to clarify. I wanted to read again what he said.
When it's talking, I will pray with the spirit. Is that our own human spirit? Is it the Holy Spirit? Is it?
No, in tongues, talking about tongues, when you pray in, but when you pray in tongues, is you edify your spirit or something?
Edify yourself or whatever. Yeah.
So let's say your spirit
edifies himself, yeah. But
even so, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts. So, I know. So tongues obviously is a gift.
Now, see, when Jesus talks about if you steal, cut your hand, or you do something else, you know, take your eye off. He says, because it's better to not have eyeballs, then your body and soul be cast into mental fire. Okay. So what happened to the spirit?
Good one. The tell you what, if it were a blueprint for a house, we'd have some problems. Well, it's not, though. It's just...
Thank God.
You know, almost when you get to that part, you almost got to read from the very beginning of the chapter. Mm-hmm. Because there's a flow there of how everything's kind of interacting. Mm-hmm. And I think you have to keep just going over that and letting the Holy Spirit show us.
I personally can live with a little bit of ambiguity. Is this the human spirit? Is this the Holy Spirit? I don't know. It could be either. It could be both. Could be,
If it's maybe important, I'm okay. You'll let you know.
Maybe I'm kind of okay with that.
I'm all right with that too, man. I am.
Yeah, you know. Well,
I don't know. What it is.
I don't have to know everything.
Well, I kind of have the place where I think I have a spirit other than the Spirit of God.
But how it all totally works together,
that I'm not so clear on.
I think the closer you get to God, the more closely aligned it is.
Yeah.
And there becomes a Siamese twin.
I mean, I know I have a spiritual mind that's different than my mind.
Oh, yeah.
That I want to develop and mature way more than that other one.
So when you're speaking under the anointing, I think you're drawing from above.
I don't think you're drawing from your spirit.
I don't think so.
You have speaking with anointing.
Right.
You walk in the spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of flesh.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
We just automatically think, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Are we?
I don't think I'm doing very good right now on my own, so.
Are we talking about a spirit that is in connection with the Holy Spirit?
The last thing.
Huh?
The last thing.
I don't know. My little warning flags go up when anything has to do with me deciding anything.
No, it's but if
coming
if
up with
to walk in the Spirit, is that a decision?
Yep. Yeah, but I think it's the Spirit of God, but that's just where I'm at.
Yeah, that's the statement is, if you're walking in the Spirit, I mean, so it says, are you walking with the anointing and power?
It's not walking your spirit.
Well, that's
maybe your spirit has an element, plays a role in it, though. I wouldn't rule that out.
Aren't we supposed to develop from the flesh to the Spirit?
Yep.
Yes, we are.
The spirit man.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we are. Right.
A godly man. Yeah. It's our spirit is drawing. I think that's what we want to keep on happening more and more.
To clarify things, I'm not in a position to anything that's going to say. You must be born again.
You can't sit back and wait for it to happen. You've got to make that first step.
And maybe the spirit before was in some kind of way asleep, or it was in hibernation or something, and then it became alive.
For the sake of the tape, I think
seeing so we've come to such a good spot to wrap this up, we're going to close for tonight.
Good night, Kelly.